you know the devil's advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The 4 o'clock happy hour. It rolls on. I want to thank my most recent guest, a bond one friend of ours, Matt Rothschild, from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And I've got to be honest, we've been doing this almost 10 years, 10 years next month. By the time we move into our new facilities here in Madison and our new facilities in Waukesha, I'll be 10 years on the airwaves. 10 years, Fancy Brian. That seems like a long time.
Wow, that'll be a half a decade for me.
5 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Buddy, February 1st, you got hired. Like, I went on the air February 1st of 2017. I hired you like on the 2nd.
I got there by the end of the month. You had I walked in and you were like,
it wasn't even a month.
This guy's running all the shows. Can you take half of the load? I said, yes, done.
Yes,
see you Monday.
The best part about doing this show, I think, is the people I've gotten to meet. And there are some super cool people. You're not all cool, but a lot of you are. And I've made lots of good friends. And during the course of the last 10 years, I've gotten to know a lot of you people outside of, you know, the call-in environment, outside of this studio environment. I like to go out. I like to be with the people. We like to do live events. I like to go to the Wisconsin State Capitol. And obviously, I've traveled the nation. This little show gives me an excuse to get out of the house. And during the course of that 10 years, we've lost a few good friends. And I got some sad news yesterday. I got a phone call after the show. A friend of mine, Judy, called and said, a guy I've gotten to know pretty well, Jigme, and he is a Tibetan from Nepal, and he is a crazy character. And he has been one of the people out there banging the drum and fighting the good fight for like a decade. I've known this guy since the Wisconsin uprising. And since the arrest at the Wisconsin State Capitol under the fascist former governor, and Judy called me up and said, Jimmy's not doing good. Jimmy's in hospice. And she called me yesterday afternoon. She said, and we would tell Dominic, and I did share the message with Dominic. I didn't speak with him, though. And she said, you know, Jimmy's dying. And by 11:30 last night, Jimmy had died. Jimmy passed last night. And I feel for Judy. I know that Judy loved this guy, and they were sort of partners in crime. And Judy, I appreciate the fact that you're telling all the people and trying to have us think good thoughts and remember Jimmy in the way that we always admired Jimmy. And I admired him as a freedom fighter of sort, because he was. He was out there doing his part each and every day, a lot of days. I can't say it was every day. But damn near every time I went to the Wisconsin State Capitol, there was Jimmy at some point. He'd show up. And he was a small guy, diminutive, not a big guy. But he had a big heart, and he certainly left a big impression. So I'm going to add him to a very short list of friends. And I don't want to exclude anyone, but during the course of the last 10 years, Pete from Milwaukee, remember Pete?
I do. You guys met up with his daughter out in
We met his daughter up in Minneapolis.
At least twice a week.
At least twice a week. Pete from Milwaukee, and then I got a call one day. Pete has passed. Pete had a heart attack. Pete died. Another good guy, Marty Beal. He was a union guy and a guy that was very generous, did a handful of appearances on the big show with us. And Marty also passed away. And Marty was a giant of a man. And something of a legend in the labor movement. And I'm going to throw Jimmy in there as well. Jimmy is one of the few people that I've grown close to through doing this radio show. Never would have met Jimmy otherwise. Can't imagine in what context he and I would have been at the same cocktail party at the same time. But I get to meet cool people. I get to meet these different people from my community and all around the state and all around the nation. And we get to meet some and we get to know them well. And I got to tell you, Jimmy, you left an impression. So my memories of you, sir, are good. And I hope wherever you are now, you know, you're shaking a fist and doing what you did. So, Judy, thanks for helping all of us remember Jimmy. And I know you loved him a lot. And I hope you're doing okay. We're going to take some phone calls. I don't mean to make this a sad happy hour, but it's always sad to lose a friend. If you live long enough, you're going to lose them all. As long as I can be the last one standing. That's my only hope. Not to be selfish, but, you know.
I'm just throwing out the odds on that. You may not be the last person standing. Just throwing out there. I'm not putting out a challenge.
This clean living I do?
Well.
This low-stress lifestyle I lead?
It's more like it's all a zero-sum game, and there's a really good chance that other people will outlive you. That's all I'm saying.
There is a chance.
I'm taking it literally.
You know, if you have enough friends, someone's going to outlive you. Anyways, let's get back to the politics and perhaps the phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. Our pal, Matt Rothschild, tracks the money. Their group, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, they're a watchdog group. And usually if you follow the money, you can kind of follow the corruption or however you want to look at it. I feel like political money can be a corrupting thing. I would like to see, you know, publicly financed elections, but we don't get that.
Can be a corrupting thing?
I don't think that every politician has been corrupted by the money or the pursuit thereof, but some have. Some have. I look at the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, corrupt as you know what. AF. But let's talk about the attorney general race for just a moment. Attorney General Josh Call, now he's the Democrat, is heading into a reelection year, and he's got 26 times more campaign cash than his Republican challengers, one of whom reported receiving no campaign donations in the first 2 months he's been in the race. Well, that's going to make it hard to challenge the incumbent. Call, who defeated Republican incumbent Brad Shimlin in 2018 by less than a percentage point, raised about $680,000 in the last 6 months. He's got about $1 million on hand. And his GOP challengers are posting much smaller hauls, according to campaign fundraising reports filed on Tuesday. There's a guy who is the current Fond du Lac County District Attorney. Well, he raised about $43,000 since July. He's got about $41,000 on hand. My understanding, though, and I don't see it reported here, $25,000 of that came from a personal loan to the campaign. So he's raised like $16,000 in 6 months. The other guy, at least the guy who's strongly considering a run, State Rep Adam Jarko of Balsam Lake, reported no campaign donations. But he is kind of sitting in wait. That's my understanding. And anyways, he's got $4,300 cash on hand, and he lent his campaign 10 G's. So anyways, I only point this out that currently the attorney general race is not competitive, not in the fundraising. And the other massive fundraising haul, we got to point out, Mandela Barnes. Do you see his numbers, or at least what his campaign is reporting around the state? It is a big number. I believe $1.23 million. As far as I'm concerned, that is a big number. Let me see if I can find it precisely here. But Mandela is a U.S. senatorial candidate. And this might strike. Oh, it's bigger than that. I'll tell you the real number in just a minute. But since Ron Johnson got in the race, somehow the fundraising numbers have inflated rapidly. Here is what the Barnes campaign is reporting. Now, Mandela is the current lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin and probably has the greatest name recognition of all the current U.S. senatorial candidates. There's something approaching a dozen of them. And, you know, when you got the highest name recognition, you are probably the front runner. But here's what his campaign says. Hey, Mike, I've got some really exciting news to share with you today. This morning, our campaign announced our Q4 fundraising numbers. And it's clear that this grassroots team has given Mandela all the momentum in this race. Here are the Q4 numbers. Just in Q4, he raised $1.23 million on about 27,000 individual donations, about 18,000 donors, about $44 the average donation, and not one dime in corporate PAC money. Not yet. That'll come later.
It's in waiting.
The latest quarter brings our campaign's fundraising total to over $2.3 million, 50,000 individual donors. That's incredible, they claim. It's not bad. Not bad. But the money race, at least the early money race, would seem to indicate Mandela's going to be plenty resourced. But let's not forget, two of Mandela's opponents apparently have vast personal resources to throw behind their campaigns if they so choose. Alex Lazary on leave as a Milwaukee Bucks executive. That's probably permissible because my understanding is his dad owns the franchise, or at least a part thereof. But when you are the son of apparently a billionaire, you might have some personal resources. And I don't know that Sarah Godlewski and her husband Max have those sort of, you know, vast resources available to them, but they're certainly well-to-do. And she's got millions perhaps behind her, and she's got Emily's List behind her.
All of them, strong candidates. No matter how much I like them, I'm looking back at the last time there was a really large field of candidates, and the one with name recognition is the one that ended up winning.
Well, I've tried to point out to these respective campaigns, and you know, you're talking about Tony Evers, and also perhaps on the presidential level, you're talking about Joe Biden. Joe Biden obviously had the name recognition here in the state of Wisconsin. The current governor had a big field of primary opponents, and he kept saying, you know, I'm in first place, see at the finish line. And effectively, that worked for him.
He was a known brand.
Well, he came from the educational side, and he'd won statewide election as the Department of Public Instruction superintendent, and he pivoted immediately and ran for governor, and it worked. And it worked. And Mandela is his lieutenant governor, but obviously Mandela's trying to stake out his own ground now. And that race is going to be well-resourced. We hear that could be $100 million Senate race. Don't forget Devil Radio and Waukesha, you know, WAUK 540 AM and the Shaw 101 FM. You know, don't forget us. Okay, corrupting political spin. Spend some over here.
We promise we'll filter it towards good things.
Yes, I'll be like a coffee filter. I'll make it clean and shiny and coffee-like when it comes out the other end. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I heard earlier that talking about that Game One apparently isn't submitting receipts for or realistic looking receipts for his travel.
Well, I had seen a specific. I've seen a specific photograph of a handwritten sheet of paper. Looks sort of like an envelope, and it's got names scribbled out and like Brookfield. And presumably that's driving to the office and back 128 miles. And then they calculated, and the mileage calculation for the entire team on the back of the envelope comes to $1,000.16.
But there actually is a official process for travel vouchers and for submitting invoices and for state expenditures.
Receipts, receipts.
Yeah, you just, you know, you write it on the back of a napkin. You give it to your boss, and then it's totally good, right?
Come on, I'm a good fellow. You can't trust me, Mark? Come on.
We're talking paid not to work, but it's under the table. Oh.
We're talking per diem here. Come on, a little something for the effort. Let's not get lost in the small dollar graft. Let's talk about the big prosecutorial graft. I mean, this is...
It's all part of the whole... Schmear, I mean, if part of it is rotten, then the whole thing is rotten, and that, a gableman doesn't know you're supposed to have specific details when you subpoena records. You can't just say, give me the Dominion voting machine records for Dane County, when there is no Dominion voting machine records for Dane County. I mean, it's time to just tell the guy to urinate off and send him on his way.
Well, that is colorfully said, Mark. Come back with us. Your colorful contributions to This Big Show could be next at 844-967-2789. Voces de la Frontera. They had a message back to the prosecutor that basically wants them to subpoena any record that says election on it. That couldn't be cumbersome whatsoever. I mean, you know, election. It's all relevant. It's all pertinent. I'm casting a big net. Just give me everything.
I figured something out. I'll tell you on the other side.
And if you don't, you're going to jail. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
He loves you and he needs money.